The following program can change your life. By learning how to get the job you really want at any time in your life, you will take full control over your career. Brian Tracy is one of the top teachers in the world today on the subject of career success. He has coached and counseled thousands of men and women at every stage in their careers on how to get better jobs, no matter who they are or what the economy is like. Brian started poor without graduating from high school. He learned his lessons the hard way, knocking around from job to job, getting hired, fired, laid off, and downsized regularly. Then he began learning and practicing the ideas and strategies you are about to learn. He very quickly turned his career around and moved on to the fast track. Starting with no advantages, he went through 22 jobs before ending up as the chief operating officer of a $265 million company. In the past few years, he has taught these strategies to thousands of people and helped them to get better jobs than ever before. And what he has taught others, you can do if you just learn how. And now, here's Brian Tracy.
"21 Great Ways to Get the Job You Really Want." Hello, I'm Brian Tracy, and welcome to this program. This is the greatest time in all of human history to be alive. There have never been more opportunities and possibilities for talented people in our economy than exist today. The rate of new business formation has passed more than 1 million new companies per year. Millions of new jobs are being added in every single industry. Unemployment levels are at an all-time low, and everywhere, every single employer is looking for talented, committed people to help their businesses grow. The only real limit on business success today is the ability to attract and keep good people like yourself. More people are becoming financially successful today as a result of doing an excellent job and being paid well for it than ever before. Your job is to participate fully in the new economy and to realize your full potential by getting and keeping an excellent job, and then by moving upward and onward in your career for the rest of your working life. Over the years, I've trained many thousands of men and women on the subject of creative job search. I've taught them how to get good jobs, get better jobs, get paid more, and get positioned better for rapid advancement. Every graduate of my creative job search programs went on to new or better jobs, sometimes within days of completing my seminar. In this program, I will share with you some of the very best ideas, strategies, methods, and techniques ever discovered for getting a great job in any economy. By applying these ideas and methods, you will put your career onto the fast track. Now, let's begin. Number 1. Take control of your career. With the rapid changes in the workplace, the average person starting work today will have 14 full-time jobs lasting 2 years or more, and as many as 5 full careers over the course of their working lifetime. To weather these storms of lifelong career change, you must be proactive, not reactive. You must take complete control of your career and guide yourself into those industries and jobs that can give you the very best pay and the greatest opportunities for the future. The starting point of taking control of your career is for you to begin to view yourself as self-employed. See yourself as the president of a company with one employee, yourself. See yourself as having one product that you sell in a competitive marketplace, your personal services. See yourself as 100% responsible for your life and for everything that happens to you. Remember that no matter who signs your paycheck, you are always self-employed. The biggest mistake you can ever make is to ever think that you work for anyone else but yourself. You are always on your own payroll. You are the president of your own personal services corporation. Every day, every week and month, you go into the marketplace and you sell the services of your own corporation to the highest bidder. As president of your own personal services corporation, you are completely responsible for marketing yourself and for presenting yourself in the marketplace in the most attractive way. You are responsible for production, for producing the highest quality and quantity of services of which you are capable. You're responsible for quality control, for doing excellent work at whatever is entrusted to you. You are responsible for research and development, for continually upgrading your knowledge and skills so that you can do your job better and faster. You are responsible for finance, for organizing your financial life in such a way that you accomplish your financial goals. You are the president of your own company. This attitude is the starting point of getting the job you want, not only in the short term, but for the rest of your career. Number 2. Analyze yourself carefully. Before you go out and look for a job, you must sit down and take stock of yourself. You must look deeply into yourself and make some clear decisions about who you are and where you want to be in the future. It's only when you have a good understanding of yourself and your own desires and ambitions that you can go out and get the job you want. Remember the famous observation by Socrates. He said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." Look into yourself and identify your marketable skills. Look into yourself and make a list of all the things that you can do that someone in the marketplace would be willing to pay for. Here are some questions that you can ask and answer for yourself before you ever go to your first interview. First, what are your skills? What can you do? What have you learned through education or experience that enables you to make a contribution to a company? Second, what have you done well at various jobs and activities in the past? What sort of activities have been most responsible for your success in your work life to date? Third, what sort of activities in your work and your personal life do you most enjoy? Remember, you will almost always be the most successful doing the things that you enjoy the most. Fourth, what parts of your work do you do most easily and well? What you've done well in the past is often an indicator of what you would do best in the future. Doctors say that accurate diagnosis is half the cure. In your case, accurate self-analysis or self-diagnosis, taking the time to sit and think through the answers to these questions, is half the job of getting the ideal position for you. The good news is that you will always do the very best at something that makes you the happiest. In fact, where you have been happy and successful in the past is the very best indication of where your true talents and abilities lie for the future. Your goal is to find a job doing something that enables you to use the very best and highest qualities and abilities that you have inside. Number 3. Decide exactly what you want. Most people go into the workplace and take whatever is offered to them. They allow the employer to determine the direction of their careers. Many people have never really given much thought to their careers since they took their first job. They have merely reacted to the demands placed upon them as the years went by. But this is not for you. Here are 3 sets of questions that you can ask throughout your career to make sure that you're on the right track. First, describe your ideal job. Imagine that you could have any job in the world. Exactly what would that job be? Remember, you can't hit a target that you can't see. Second, look around you in the marketplace. If you could have any job doing anything, what exactly would it be? If you do see a job that you like, go and talk to somebody who's doing that job and ask for their advice. You'll be amazed at the insights that people will give you in just a few minutes of conversation. And third, project yourself into the future. What sort of work would you like to be doing in 3 to 5 years? Everyone has to start at the beginning of a new job or career, but you must be clear about where you want to be in your career in the future. This enables you to make a much better decision with regard to taking the job in the first place. The most amazing thing is this. The more specific and clear you are about exactly what it is you want to do and where you want to do it and how much you want to earn, the easier it is for someone to hire you and pay you the kind of money you want to make. Go back over these questions and answer them one by one before you go out looking for the job you really want. Number 4. Think about the future. One of the characteristics of leaders in more than 3,300 studies is that they have the quality of vision. This is a quality that you can develop by simply deciding to do so. You develop vision by projecting forward 5 or 10 years into the future and thinking about how you would like your life to be if everything was ideal in every respect. This is called back from the future thinking. Take out a piece of paper and imagine that 5 years have passed. Write out a description of what your career would look like if it was perfect in every way. Create a clear vision of your ideal job, company, and work environment. Write out how much you would be earning, what you would be doing, the kind of people you would be working with, and the level of responsibility you would have achieved. Once you have a clear vision, you come back to the present in your mind and you ask yourself, what would I have to do today to begin making my 5-year vision a reality? Leaders continually create a clear ideal for themselves, and then they continually look for ways to make that ideal a reality. When you develop a clear vision for yourself and your future, the only question you ask is, how? How can you go about finding or creating the kind of job you want where you can achieve your full potential? When you are clear about your vision for yourself and your future, you will be amazed at how much more likely you are to find the real job you want. Number 5. Set clear goals for your life. Goal setting is the master skill of success. It's been said that success equals goals, and all else is commentary. When you are absolutely clear about your goals in every part of your life, the probabilities of your achieving those goals increase by several times. There are 7 parts to the formula for goal setting and goal achieving. Once you learn this formula, you can practice it for the rest of your life. Here it is. First, decide exactly what you want. Most people never do this. Decide exactly what you want in your career and with your health, your finances, your family, and your future. You cannot hit a target that you can't see. Second, write it down in clear, specific language. Only 3% of adults have clear written goals. A goal that is not in writing is merely a wish or a fantasy. It has no energy behind it. Third, set a deadline for your goal. If it's a large goal, set sub-deadlines. Program your subconscious mind with a specific date upon which you wish to achieve your goal. Don't leave it hanging in the air. Fourth, make a list of everything you can think of that you can do to achieve your goal. Think on paper. And when you think of new things, add them to your list until your list is complete. Number 5, organize your list into a plan. Decide what you need to do first and what you can do later. Decide what is more important and what is less important. Once you have a goal and a plan, you will run circles around people who are just trying to figure things out as they go along. Sixth, take action on your plan. Do something. Do anything. But put your plan into effect immediately. This is the stumbling block upon which many of the greatest plans fail. People fail to take action. And finally, The key to your success is this. Do something every day that moves you toward your most important goal. Discipline yourself every single day to do something, anything that moves you in the direction of what you want most at that time. Now, here's an exercise for you. Take out a sheet of paper and write down 10 goals that you want to accomplish in the next 12 months. Once you have these 10 goals, put a circle around the one goal that is more important to you than any other single goal. You then transfer this goal to another sheet of paper and set a deadline. Make a list of everything you would have to do to achieve it. Organize the list into a plan, take action on the plan, and then do something every day to achieve that goal. This goal-setting exercise outlined above will change your life almost overnight. It's the most powerful single process I've ever seen. I've spoken to countless people worldwide who tell me that their lives and careers were transformed, sometimes within just a few days, by this 7-part goal-setting exercise. Try it yourself and see. Number 6. Understand the job market. There are certain rules and principles of work and employment. Some of these are practical and some of these are economic. They are all basically facts of life. They are principles that you have to take into consideration for as long as you work for a living. The basic rule is this. Your rewards in life, both tangible and intangible, will always be determined by the value of your service to other people. Your income will be determined by what you do, how well you do it, and the difficulty of replacing you. Your income security can only be guaranteed when you do something that is important, something for which there is a demand in the marketplace, and something at which you are difficult to replace. A second fact of life is that your labor, whatever you do, is viewed and treated as a commodity in the marketplace. It is seen as a factor of production. Your effort is viewed as a certain quantity of labor of a specific kind that can be applied to produce certain qualities and quantities of products or services. That's why all labor, including your own, is subject to the economic law of supply and demand. A change in technology, market preferences by consumers, or the economy can make a particular skill obsolete almost overnight. A person who is fully employed and working 12 hours a day can find themselves out of work on Monday because of a rapid change in the marketplace, the company, or the demand for their work. Jobs are not determined so much by what you want, but by what other people want. The work you do is not so much determined by your background, your knowledge, your skills, or your ability, as much as it is determined by what people need, what people want, and what people are willing to pay for. You must be continually adjusting your offerings, your talents and your skills, your work and your effort, so that it is in conformity with what people want, need, and are willing to pay for. This is the key to understanding the job market. Number 7. The Universal Hiring Rule. This is the great principle that gives you complete control over your career. The Universal Hiring Rule simply says that wherever you can find an opportunity to increase revenues or to reduce costs in a greater amount than the cost of hiring you, you can actually create your own job. The laws of economics state that an employer will continue to hire people as long as each additional person contributes more in dollar value to the company than that person costs in salary to the company. This means that you are surrounded with opportunities to create the kind of job you want by simply looking for ways to contribute more in value than you represent in cost. For the rest of your career, your salary will be determined by the financial impact that you have on your employer. Now, you have many different talents and abilities. Your responsibility is to think through the few things that you can do that represent the highest and best use of your time for an employer. Sometimes, your ability to do a specific task in an excellent fashion can make you one of the most valuable and most highly paid people in the organization. Whenever you interview for a job or think about different jobs, you must continually analyze the job in terms of the most critical and valuable parts of that job that you can do in an excellent fashion. One of the most important questions you ask each day is this: how can I add more value to this particular job or position? When you have a job, or even before you get a job, you should be asking about and determining your highest value activities all the time. And the more clear you can make your financial contribution to a prospective employer, the more rapidly he or she can hire you and put you to work. The universal hiring rule is also the universal rule for getting ahead in your career. Number 8. Fish where the fish are. There are thousands of jobs available at any time in any economy, no matter what the economic situation. Even in times of high unemployment, more than 90% of people are working and earning good money. Anyone who is really serious about getting and keeping a job can do so. There are no limitations. There are thousands of jobs around you everywhere. For example, every individual company, large or small, is a separate job market. There are approximately 50,000 companies per 1 million population in the United States. Some of these companies are large and employ thousands of people. Most of them are small. But the fact remains that there is approximately one company or one job market for every 14 people in America. In addition, every department in every company is a job market unto itself. Every department is like a small business. It has revenues and expenses. It has functions it must perform and responsibilities it must discharge. Every department hires and fires, advances and promotes, deploys and utilizes different forms of labor. Every individual in every department in every company who has the authority to hire people is a job market. Even in a company with as few as 20 people, there are 4 or 5 individuals who have the authority to hire others. Each of these 4 or 5 people is a job market unto itself with specific needs and requirements, with problems unsolved and needs unmet. This means that in every city or town, in every economy, there are literally thousands of companies, departments, or individuals who are job markets and who have varying levels of needs for specific services. Your job is to find the right one. Remember, a job is merely a problem that has not yet been solved. A job is an opportunity to render useful service, to help someone solve a problem or achieve a goal. Whenever you can find a person with a problem or an opportunity, full or part-time, you can create your own job. Read the newspapers and magazines looking for job openings. Check the internet regularly. Speak to placement agencies and executive recruiters. Cast a wide net. And always remember, there are vastly more jobs available than there will ever be talented people to take them. Number 9. Use your time well. When you start looking for a job, you must accept complete responsibility for using every minute of every day in the very best way possible. You should look upon job search as a full-time job, taking 40 to 50 hours each week, starting first thing in the morning and continuing all day long. The more active you are, the more people you see, the more information you get, and the more opportunities you investigate, the more likely it is that you are going to get a far better job than a person who waits at home for someone to call or who goes out on an occasional job interview. Get up each morning and plan each day in advance. Make a list of everything you have to do that day and organize the list by priority. Select the most important item on the list and begin with it immediately. All day long, work from your list and challenge yourself to get through everything as quickly as you possibly can. Arise early, exactly as if you were fully employed. Get up, get dressed exactly as if you were going to work, and get ready to go. Eat a light, high-energy breakfast. Go to the table or desk that you have set aside as a workplace for your job search and get on the telephone. Make your first call by 8:30 a.m. Whenever possible, schedule your first appointment for early morning, even before normal working hours. Getting up, getting dressed, and looking good not only increases your self-confidence and improves your attitude, but it positively impresses other people, both those in your own house and those on the outside. Remember, you should never see yourself as unemployed. You are merely a fully employed person who is in a temporary state of transition. Ask yourself the key question, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? And whatever the answer is to that question, be sure that you are working on that every single minute. The final and most important question in getting the job you want is to continually ask yourself, is what I am doing right now leading to a job interview or to a job? Do not drop off your dry cleaning, pick up your laundry, read the newspaper, watch television, or chat with your friends. See yourself as fully employed, getting a position where you are fully employed. Don't waste time. Develop a sense of urgency. Move quickly. Cover as much ground as you possibly can every single day. Use your time well every single minute. Number 10. Do your homework. When you are looking for the job you want, you are in the same position as a sales professional. The three keys to sales success are prospecting, presenting, and following up. Your first job is to prospect thoroughly and to develop the greatest number of leads that you possibly can. Then, you meet with and make presentations to as many prospective employers as possible. Third, you follow up with the very best opportunities until you get the job you want. One of the most important keys to success in selling today is what is called pre-call research. This means that you find out everything that you possibly can about a prospective employer before you call on that employer for the first time. Fortunately, with the Internet, you can do more and better research in a few minutes than has ever before been possible in human history. And you cannot imagine how impressive it is when a job candidate calls on a person with a file full of information on that individual, organization, and industry. This gives you a critical edge in the final decision. And this critical edge can open a door for you that can change the entire direction of your life. Do your homework. Find out everything that you possibly can about the individual, the organization, and the industry before you call on them the first time. At the very least, make sure that you have done your homework before you meet with a prospective employer. This is very impressive. Number 11. Prepare thoroughly in advance. In professional selling, the difference between the amateur and the professional is summarized in what is called pre-call planning. This means that you take a few minutes in the morning to develop your plan for this interview. You review all the information you have on this industry, this organization, and this person. You develop a series of questions that you want to ask. You review what is going on in the industry and both the levels of employment and the types of incomes that are possible. You read the newspapers and you check the Internet to find out what competitive organizations are doing and offering. Preparation is the mark of the professional. It's absolutely amazing to me the number of people who have applied to me for jobs who have no idea what my company does. They somehow think that they are such good talkers that they can get away with fast talk and fakery to cover up the fact that they have not spent any time preparing for the interview. Don't let this happen to you. Put yourself in the position of the employer and think through what the employer will need to know in order to offer you the kind of job that you really want. The better prepared you are, the more impressive you will appear, and the easier it will be for someone to hire you doing the kind of work you want to do. Number 12. Sow seeds everywhere. Fully 85% of the jobs available in your market are not advertised or publicized anywhere. This is called the hidden job market. These jobs are not posted on any employee bulletin board. They're not advertised in the newspaper. They are hidden and waiting for you to discover them, like buried treasure. Perhaps the most important part of the hidden job market today lies on the Internet. From virtually nothing a few years ago to approximately 1/8 of all jobs are now filled through Internet placement advertising. You should not only surf the Internet job sites regularly, but you should also make sure that your qualifications and your interests are on every job site that might be visited by employers who are looking for someone like you. Getting a job on the Internet is not easy. It is a skill that you can learn through practice. You start by visiting the main Internet job sites that you see advertised all around you. If you don't know where to start, go to a search engine like Yahoo and click on to Jobs and Job Opportunities. Visit AOL and go to the Employment section. Examine the various job categories and then read the descriptions of the jobs that are being offered. Get as much information as you possibly can about the various job sites. Some Internet job sites specialize in one kind of employee and some specialize in another. Some are local and some are national. When you list on an Internet job site, your resume and your information become instantly available to potential employers nationwide. There are many opportunities for you to post a brief description of your abilities and the job you are looking for at no charge. Some sites will charge you a placement fee, but they are usually worth it because they are much more aggressive in tracking potential employers to the site. Remember, you always get what you pay for in life. There are also job fairs that are held in every community every year. These are advertised in the newspaper and on the radio. You should visit these job fairs and talk to the various employers exhibiting there. Find out what they're looking for today and what they will be looking for in the future. Even if you're currently employed, keep sowing seeds everywhere you go so that you can create a rich harvest of employment in the future. The more seeds you sow, the more likely you are to get the job you really want. Number 13. Increase the probabilities of success. Your success in getting a great job is a numbers game. It's based on the law of averages. It's based on probabilities. It simply means that the more people you see and talk to, the greater probability there is that you will be the right person in the right place at the right time with the right opportunity to get the job you want. To increase the likelihood of getting a great job, read the newspapers in your city carefully. Especially, you should study the business and career sections. Read with a red pen or a highlighter in hand and make careful notes for follow-up. Make it a point to be aware of the trends in business in the city in which you wish to work. Read all the business magazines as well, both local and national, keeping an eye out for stories about companies and trends in the industry in which you wish to work. Read the local business journal from cover to cover and look for the companies that are announcing new positions or introducing new products or services. Business journals usually contain information on jobs that are available, as well as people who are moving up within their existing companies. Look for the names of key people in various companies and departments of companies. Especially, look for the names of those who have been recently promoted. People who have been recently promoted often make immediate staff changes and create job opportunities for people who call. Look for active, growing organizations that are announcing a new expansion or increased profitability. These companies are always looking for more good people. They offer lots of opportunities and they usually pay well. Look for new product releases and the introductions of new services. Whenever a company is expanding their products or services, there are job opportunities to sell the product, distribute the product, to service the product, install the product, and handle the administration and details associated with the new product or service. These all represent new job opportunities. Whenever you see a company that is expanding and an executive that has been promoted, phone the company immediately and tell the person you talk to that you're looking for a job in that industry and this company is of interest to you. Ask the receptionist for the name of the person you should speak to. Arrange to go in and see the person and interview for a job. It's absolutely amazing how many great job opportunities you can uncover by simply taking action on the news and information all around you and the business and industry that you want to work in. Number 14, the three C's to getting any job. There are three basic C's to getting the kind of job you want and earning the kind of money you want to earn. These three C's stay constant throughout your working career. They are contacts, credibility, and competence. First, the more contacts you have in the marketplace, the more likely it is you will find the job you want. The more people you know and who know you, the more likely it is that you will uncover the 85% or more of job openings that are never listed anywhere. This is why it is so important for you to network continually. Join clubs and associations. Ask people for referrals and references. Tell your friends, relatives, and associates that you are in the market for a new job. Make sure that everyone you know is aware that you are available and are looking for a job. Nothing is more important than your circle of contacts. The great majority of jobs that are filled in the hidden job market are filled because of someone who knows someone else. And you can expand your range of contacts just by telling people that you're available and asking for their help and for their advice. The second C is credibility. This is made up of your reputation and your character. Your credibility is the most important single quality about you in terms of getting recommendations and referrals from your contacts. Make sure that everything you do is consistent with the highest ethical standards. Make sure that you never do or say anything that could be misconstrued by anyone to be anything other than excellent conduct and behavior on your part. Remember, people will only recommend you for a job opening if they're completely confident that they will not end up looking foolish as a result of something that you do or say. The third C is competence. In the final analysis, it is how good you are and how good you have been in your previous jobs that will determine more than anything else how good you can be at the job under consideration. Next to your character, your level of competence will be the single most important thing about you in determining your success in your career. This is why you must be continually working to maintain and upgrade your levels of competence through personal study and personal development all your working life. Number 15, the five qualities most in demand. Every employer has had a certain amount of experience with both good employees and bad employees. For this reason, every employer has a pretty good idea of what he or she wants more of and less of. Here are the big five. The first quality that employers look for is intelligence. In every study, it's been found that as much as 76% of productivity and contribution of an individual will be determined by his or her level of intelligence. Intelligence, in this sense, means the ability to plan, to organize, to set priorities, to solve problems, and to get the job done. The second quality sought by employers is leadership ability. Leadership is the willingness and the desire to accept responsibility for results. It's the ability to take charge, to volunteer for assignments, and to accept accountability for achieving the required results of those assignments. The mark of the leader is that he or she does not make excuses. You demonstrate your willingness to be a leader in the organization by offering to take charge of achieving company goals and then by committing yourself to performing at high levels. Integrity is the third quality sought by employers. It's probably the most important single quality of all for long-term success in life and at work. Integrity begins by being true to yourself. This means that you are perfectly honest with yourself and your relationships with others. You are willing to admit your strengths and weaknesses. You are willing to admit where you have made mistakes in the past. The fourth quality that employers look for is likability. Employers like people who are warm, friendly, easygoing, and cooperative with others. Employers are looking for people who can join the team and be part of the work family. Teamwork is the key to modern business success. Your experience in working as part of a team in the past and your willingness to work as part of a team in the future can be one of the most attractive things about you in applying for a job. Competence is the fifth quality sought by employers. We spoke about this earlier. Competence is terribly important to your success. It's really the foundation quality of everything that happens to you in your career. In its simplest terms, competence means the ability to get the job done. Competence means the ability to set priorities, to determine the most important things to do, to separate the relevant from the irrelevant jobs, and then to concentrate single-mindedly until the job is complete. In the final analysis, it is your character, which is the sum total of all your positive qualities, that will have the greatest impact on whether you get the job you want. Your job is to continue working on your character by practicing the behaviors of top people at every opportunity. Number 16. Write resumes that get results. Your resume is a combination sales and promotion tool. Just as a company produces brochures and promotional materials for products and services, your resume is your promotional tool for yourself. It is advertising for yourself as a product who can perform specific duties and services. As an advertising piece, your resume must be interesting, inviting, factual, attractive, positive, upbeat, and it must entice the reader to want to meet you and to talk to you and to learn more about how you can perhaps help him or her to achieve his or her goals. The fact is that it usually requires hundreds of resumes to get a single job offer. Very few people are ever hired simply because of a resume. It's like a business card. Many people are actually hired without their resume ever being read in the first place. The ideal length of a resume is one page, with a maximum of two pages. People today are extremely busy and they don't have time to read long documents. Therefore, make your resume short and to the point. There are two types of resumes, chronological and functional. The chronological resume lists your previous job experiences with the most recent at the start of the resume, going back month by month and year by year and describing your work experiences and education from the beginning of your adult life. You use a chronological resume when you've had a career path that shows consistent growth and development. A chronological resume is best when you started with a simple job and then moved up gradually to more and more complex jobs. A functional resume, on the other hand, is made out by job function or by your previous achievements. Very often you will use a functional resume when you've spent a good deal of time with a single company, but you've performed a variety of different tasks within that company. In a functional resume, you identify the various job functions or titles that you've had and you list your accomplishments and achievements in each of these job areas. For example, if you started with a company and worked up from a lower position to a higher position, you would start off by listing your title at the highest position and the things you've accomplished. You would then list your title in the second position and the things you accomplished in that job. The most important part of a resume or a job interview is called transferability of results. What employers are looking for is proof that you have already been able to achieve results that they would like someone to achieve in the position they are interviewing for. Your job is to convince the employer that you, as the result of your previous education and experience, are the ideal person to achieve the results that the employer desires. Ideally, your resume should be left after you've had a personal interview with the employer. Whenever possible, avoid mailing your resume in advance. If, however, you are responding to an advertisement and you have no choice but to mail your resume, always send it with a cover letter that refers specifically to the advertisement and to the job for which you are seeking. Even if your letter is handwritten, you should send it with the resume as a covering letter. Finally, once you have either sent your resume or left your resume behind, be sure to phone back in a couple of days to find out their reaction. Don't be afraid to be persistent, as long as you are polite. Persistence in seeking a position is considered a positive attribute by most employers. Number 17. Informational interviewing. Informational interviewing is the key to creative job search. When you interview for hire, you are the interviewee. You sit there and the prospective employer asks you questions and grills you about your background and ability. However, in informational interviewing, you are the interviewer. You have control over the interview. You are actually screening the employer rather than being screened by the employer. You can ask hard questions about the business and the industry without worrying about whether or not you make a good impression. Some form of informational interviewing is used by virtually everyone who gets a good job with high wages in a short period of time. It's one of the most powerful job-seeking techniques ever discovered, and it will work for you if you practice it. You begin by making a list of prospective companies that you would like to work for. You then identify one of these companies and gather information about both the company and the person in the company that you want to talk to. At the very least, telephone the receptionist and say that you are a potential customer. Ask him or her to send you a complete package of promotional literature on the company and its products and services. You then phone and ask for an appointment with the right person. You tell the other person, either by phone, voicemail, email, or letter, that you would like to interview him or her to get some ideas about working in this particular field. You use these words. Hello, I'm doing some research in this industry. I'm thinking of making a career change into this field, and I'm talking to several authorities in this industry to get some information and ideas on how to make the best choice. Surprisingly enough, people who are normally too busy to talk to you or who do not have the time for interviews will actually make time to give advice to someone who is looking to move into and up in an industry where they work. You tell the prospective employer, I would like to interview you for about 10 minutes and ask you some specific questions. People usually love to be interviewed. And if you ask for only 10 minutes, you will almost invariably get an appointment within a few days. You are now the interviewer. When you go into the interview, take a list of questions about the industry and the company. You then ask a whole series of questions about the industry, the company, the prospects for the future, the prospects for different people in different jobs, and so on. Make very careful notes during your interview. At the end of 10 minutes, be prepared to thank the individual and depart. Almost invariably, you'll be invited to stay longer. Never accept or respond to a job offer during the informational interview. If the employer asks you if you're looking for a job, you respond by saying, "No, not at this time. I'm still in the process of doing my research, and I'm not far enough along to make that kind of a decision." After the interview, you immediately go home and write a thank you note. This is a powerful part of the informational interview process, and it virtually guarantees your ability to go back at a later time with your findings. Number 18. Prepare thoroughly for the interview. There are several things that you can do to make each interview as successful as it can possibly be. Each of these steps has an impact on helping you to get the kind of job you really want. Number 1. Always be punctual. Allow yourself enough time to get there, taking the address and the traffic into consideration. As a general rule, employers are advised never to hire a person who arrives late for a job interview. Second, dress well for the job interview. Your clothes can account for 95% of the first impression you make on your prospective employer, because first impressions are almost always visual, and your clothes cover 95% of your body, even on a hot day. Dress the way you would expect to dress for the job for which you are applying. Many people are hired for no other reason than that they are the best-dressed candidate that was interviewed. Third, before going into the interview, take a few moments to breathe deeply and relax your shoulders. Breathing deeply 6 or 7 times will actually release endorphins in your brain and give you a sense of well-being and calmness. Fourth, after breathing deeply, close your eyes for a few moments and visualize yourself as calm, confident, and relaxed. Create a clear mental picture of yourself as smiling, positive, and completely in control of yourself and your emotions during the interview. Fifth, when you meet the interviewer, smile and shake hands firmly. Look the person directly in the eye and say, "How do you do?" A good handshake is full and firm, where you grasp the entire hand and squeeze in a firm but non-aggressive way. Both men and women should give a full palm handshake when they meet a person for the first time. Smile, look him or her in the eye, and say, "How do you do?" Sixth, interview the interviewer. Most interviewers start off with a series of questions that are aimed at drawing you out and getting a better idea of who you are. You should instead take control of the interview by asking questions about the company, the industry, and the kind of person that the interviewer is looking for. The more questions you ask and the more you help to uncover the real needs of the prospective employer, the more likely it is that the prospective employer will see you as being the kind of person who can fulfill those needs. Number 19. Interview like a champion. The job interview is really a sales call. You are in sales when you are looking for a job. You are going out to sell yourself to someone else. The type of job you get and the type of salary you command will be a measure of how well you have sold yourself at this critical point in your career. Every employer has needs that are not yet satisfied. Every employer has problems that are not yet solved. Every employer represents an opportunity for you. In many cases, employers will actually create jobs for people who can convince them that they can help them to satisfy needs and solve problems. Your prospective employer has only one question in mind when interviewing you for a job. It's the same question that every customer asks when considering whether or not to buy a product or service. And your employer is a customer. You are the product or service that is for sale. And your prospective customer's question is, "What's in it for me?" Your prospective customer wants to know, "How will I personally benefit from hiring you?" He or she wants to know, "What can you do for me specifically?" And finally, your prospective employer wants to know, how can I be sure that what you say is true? Your aim in the job interview is to demonstrate that you can achieve, avoid, or preserve something for your employer. You must be absolutely clear about what it is you expect to achieve, avoid, or preserve. Your key goal in a job interview is to convince the employer that you can achieve a result that he or she needs, or improve a situation that he or she is facing below the cost of hiring you. The better you plan and prepare, the better you will be at convincing the employer that you are the ideal person for this job. Number 20, getting the job. You have done your research and your informational interviewing. You have met with the prospective employer, and you have sent your follow-up thank you letters. You have researched the company and the industry, and you've taken complete control of your career. You have now decided where you want to work and whom you want to work for. You are now ready to close the sale. Perhaps the most powerful tool of all in a job interview is called self-selection. Your intense desire for the job offered, demonstrated by everything you say or do, is extremely impressive and influential in getting you the job you want. When you are closing the sale for the job you want, your job is to convince the employer overwhelmingly that this is the right job for you and that you are the right person for this job. Describe your experience as it relates to the position. Describe what you feel you could do for the employer. Explain the contribution you feel you could make to the prospective employer and to the company. Don't be afraid to be enthusiastic and assertive in selling yourself to your prospective employer. Be active, direct, and straightforward in the interview. Smile, nod, and make it clear that you are fully involved in the discussion. Show that you are really eager to get this job with this company, with this person. Especially, tell the prospective employer that you really want this job. Sometimes this is impressive enough alone to cause the person to hire you rather than someone else. There is probably nothing that you can say that is more impressive to a prospective employer than the words, "I really want this job. If you give me a chance at this job, I promise you I will do a terrific job in this position. You won't be sorry." Remember, employers are emotional and emotions are contagious. Your excitement and enthusiasm for a job can have a greater impact on the employer's decision than all the resumes you ever write. Your success in persuading the employer that you are the right person will determine the quality of the job you get and the salary that goes with that job as much or more than any other factor. Number 21, negotiating the best salary. Well, you've interviewed and successfully persuaded the employer that he or she should hire you for the job. You now come to the issue of salary negotiations. What you do at this point can have a major impact on your income, your lifestyle, and your future. Follow these instructions carefully. First, you should have a good idea of how much you want to earn as a salary for this position. You should have done your research and spoken to other people. You should know what the salary range is for a position of this kind. You should never go in blind, having no idea of how much money to ask for. Whatever salary is offered to you, never accept the job or the salary the very first time it comes up. Always ask for time to think it over, even if you want this job very badly. Use the 24-hour rule. Always allow yourself and ask for 24 hours to think about a job offer before you accept it. The more you ask for time to think it over, the better job and job benefits you're going to get when you make the final decision. When an employer offers you a salary, he or she usually has a salary range in mind. The salary range is usually 20% above and below the average amount paid for that position. For example, if a position pays roughly $2,000 per month, the employer will be thinking in the range of $1,600, 20% below, to $2,400, 20% above, per month. The employer will make every effort to hire you at the lowest possible amount that you will accept. Your job, on the other hand, is to aim for the very highest amount that the employer is prepared to pay. Your job is to ask for an amount at the top of the salary range in the employer's mind. Here is how you do it. When an employer offers you a salary of $2,000, for example, you should suggest a figure that is between 110% to 130% of that amount offered. This is called bracketing. In this example, if the suggested figure is $2,000, you should say that you feel that excellent performance in this position would be worth between $2,200 and $2,600. You raise the limits of the bracket in the employer's mind and in the conversation. Surprisingly enough, the employer will often settle for an amount that is midway between the two figures that you are proposing, or an amount of $2,400. This is the upper end of his or her salary range and is usually more than he or she planned to pay, but they will often give it to you if you ask for it in this way. In some cases, you'll have to settle for a lower salary to start. In that case, you immediately ask what you will have to do to get an increase in salary. Be specific and ask the employer to put it in writing in his or her letter of acceptance to you with regard to the job. If you cannot get a higher salary right away, you can negotiate for the benefits that come with the job. You can negotiate for a longer vacation, more days off, and more sick days. In addition, you can also ask for additional perks that go with a position, such as an office, a car, an expense account, and other things. In any case, whatever salary, benefits, and package you negotiate, immediately ask if you can get an increase within 90 days if you do a good job. Your ability to negotiate for a better package at a higher salary later is better at the moment of taking the job than it ever will be again. Be sure to take lots of time to think through and discuss all the details involved in the job. Be sure to ask for clarity and have everything written down on paper that you've agreed to. You'll then be ready to put your career onto the fast track. We've covered a lot of ground in this program on the 21 great ways to get the job you really want. There are hundreds of books and articles on the subject. Nonetheless, what you have learned in this program covers the most important ideas ever discovered in the field of creative job search. We are living at the very best time in all of human history. The thought that you put into your career and into the job you get will have as much of an impact on your life as any other decision or series of actions you ever take. It is vitally important that you become absolutely excellent at creative job search and that you review and practice these ideas over and over again until they become habits that you practice for the rest of your working life. Remember, you are a truly excellent person. You are engineered for success and designed to have a wonderful career in the months and years ahead. Getting the kind of job you want is both an art and a science. It is a learnable skill that you can develop by listening to this program over and over again and then by taking action on what you have learned. There are no limits to what you can accomplish in life except for the limits you place on yourself. Good luck. Now, I'd like to give you a free gift as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal supporter of mine and a determined continuous learner. So find out what I've been working on lately and receive your special at www.briantracy.com/learner. That's www.briantracy.com/learner. Just go there right now and see what I've got for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to talking to you and maybe even seeing you soon.